in, sit right down. Keep your hands up, keep your chin down. Shut the door, time to go with Randy Harrison, Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, surprises, and surprises anywhere. For Knockout Radio, I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
What is going on? God, it feels like forever.
It has been forever.
It's only been 2 weeks.
Wow, well, that's forever.
It just seems like it, but I didn't think I'd miss it, but I did.
Yeah.
You know, and so much to talk about. An action-packed show. We're going to rock and roll it a little bit today.
Okay.
Real quick, let's run down the schedule. A couple UFC competitors. I'm really bummed about last week because one of the guys that we had scheduled to talk to who won last Saturday night, Philadelphia Cop.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to bring in and talk about my grandfather a little bit. And, you know, it's still kind of a funny story. But, all right, scheduled to be on today, UFC fighter Alex Hernandez, UFC fighter Jared Gordon, Melvin Gallard coming on. He was going to be on last week, so we postponed that to this week. Main event next week, who will be wearing odd socks in his fight.
He will be?
We need to be a little more, you know, selective.
Has he selected which pair he will wear?
He hasn't, okay. And Justin hasn't sent the box yet. So Justin will make the first decision in how many he sends him, and then Melvin can make the decision from there.
Okay.
But yeah, he's definitely going to wear it. I wore a pair last night at the Tampa Bay food fight.
I did as well.
And so if anybody can guess what pair I won, they'll win a pair of odd socks.
The pair you wore? Which one?
Well, they won't wear, you know, win the pair that I wore.
Right, right. They'll win a pair.
They'll win a pair.
If they can guess what it is.
Right.
Well, if anybody that knows you, it's got to be a wrestler.
Oh, not necessarily.
Or a boxer on
TV. Not necessarily. If you go to their website and kind of look at everything they have, there's a lot of different things out there. Good job. Nice professional move right there.
Well, I thought I had it muted.
I also wore a pair of odd socks undies.
Oh.
Yeah, loved them.
So did they match the socks, though?
No, they do not. Okay. But they were definitely cool. Also on the show today, Jimmy Denning, who went and covered Dana White's Contender Series as well as UFC 3612. Last Saturday night. And then Mark Kendall will be on, who is one of the original from Great White.
Great White, the band?
And it's ironic. Well, Great White is coming in just about 2 weeks, opening for Vince Neil, who I met at our charity event in Nashville. But it's ironic because I responded, shockingly so, I responded to a post that was on the Book of Face regarding a Australian band
That's
coming to Ruth Eckert Hall. I'm pretty sure Little River Band, if you remember hopefully better than I, wasn't Little River Band the band that my wife and I sat at Epcot and waited for hours? And then when they came out, I Googled, and there's not a single original member in Little River
Band. Yeah, I think they're off from, like, Arkansas.
Yeah, I think that is the case, right. So
they have nothing little or from
down under. So they're coming to Ruth Eckert Hall, and I kind of responded, is it really Little River Band if there's nobody from Little River Band in it?
That's a valid question.
And I remember I always said that I would never go see Queen because Freddie Mercury is no longer with us and with Queen. And then I did go see him, and I thoroughly enjoyed it, and Adam Lambert did a great job and blah, 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 blah. But at least the other members are the original Queen.
Sure. Yeah, so that makes it different.
There's nobody from Little River Band. That would be like going to see the Bee Gees, which we have seen in Vegas, who are not the Bee Gees. You know, this just in since 2.5 of them are dead,
right?
You know, so they couldn't still be with us. Also on the program today, rounding it out, your good friend and mine, Dave Manley,
who, love that guy.
They just released the next bobblehead.
That's the Daniel Cormier USA wrestler.
Yeah,
that yeah is epic.
It is cool. It is
cool. Throwback. It's I mean, and I'll be honest, I didn't know DC was an Olympic wrestler.
Well, that's because you don't pay attention.
Well. That's not the truth.
Oh, my gosh.
I only know from a guy who lost to John Jones twice.
Correct.
But there's so much to talk about, Randy. I mean, look, circling back, last night, tying in with the Great White, I wore my Odd socks, and they were a pair of Great White Shark socks that I got from the one and only I Am DJ Tony. So Tony gave to me those last week at the Lights Out Boxing Gym. I had those on. And talk about songs and original bands. What about From the Men Down Under, like Velosky's walkout song? I mean, to get the crowd energized, to get the pump up.
To get a little Vegemite sandwich?
Yeah, right.
All right, so let's get right into it because we're going to have a lot of interviews. So, you know, we're going to have to pick and choose when we're able to talk about it.
Let's go.
I'm struggling, and every single person that's reached out to me, including Jimmy Denning and a lot of other people, Joe Marcourt, who calls me all the time.
What's it call you?
we can't say that publicly. I'm struggling, and I've changed my mind a tad.
Okay.
But how can you call a 50-45 and a 50-44 the greatest fight you've ever seen? The greatest fight of all time.
You're talking about the main event?
Yeah, the main event. I mean, it was one judge 50-45, one judge 50-44. And let me finish.
Okay.
Joe Marcourt threw it out. Then somebody kind of ripped me about my judging, and Joe came to my defense that I am a great judge, that I do take it seriously, and I get it. It could be the difference of one punch.
Okay.
You know, a 10-9 could be one punch.
Sure.
Could be one takedown. Could be 1-1-1-1-1. But in no account, in four of those five rounds, even though some people believe that Brian Ortega won round five, I don't know about that. At no time, other than two submissions, did you ever think Brian Ortega was going to win that fight? Ever.
I mean, that's true.
Ever.
That's just true.
Right. I mean. So, like I said and I don't remember who it was an enjoyable fight to watch if you're not a Brian Ortega fan.
It's true.
It's hard to watch if you're a Brian Ortega fan. So, it's a great fight because Brian Ortega took an ass whooping for... Let's see, the five rounds, 5 minutes, 25 minutes. We'll say 3 minutes of the submission. So for 22 minutes, took an ass whooping.
Well, you got to add 22 more minutes from the Max Holloway beating that he took.
Well, I think they said that he's taken like 3,600 significant strikes in his last three fights. You're complimenting him because he took an ass whooping.
He's the modern-day Clay Guida. And I talked to Clay the other day. I mean, we love Clay to death, but...
We're not French.
I love Clay to death. And it's the modern day Clay Guida. I mean, Clay was a warrior.
I'm going to disagree. I'm going to disagree with you.
Really?
Yeah, it's not the modern day Clay Guida. Because if you watch those old Clay Guida fights, he handed out almost as much as he took. Ortega didn't throw a whole lot of punches.
It didn't appear like
he threw a whole lot of punches.
He was touching them up, but he wasn't putting any... It wasn't anything significant behind it.
When Clay, before he changed, which was smart... because he couldn't survive life by continuing the way he was fighting. You know, it was Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Sure.
So when him and Diego Sanchez were throwing 412 strikes per second, you didn't know who was going to win, right?
And you can't count that if you're a judge. Like, how do you know how many punches?
You don't.
You see Clay's hair move and the sweat moves off of it. Looks like he got a punch.
It cost him a fight.
Sure it did.
It was one of the European fights that he lost that if you go back and rewatch, every time his hair would fly and the sweat would fly off, you would think he got hit.
Sure.
And he didn't. And that and that did cost him, you know, at least one fight that I know of.
And that's kind of a tribute that I brought today to the show, Randy. I brought the Exiance Energy. Remember the old school... UFC, Exiance was a sponsor of the UFC. I think the company's flat as well as they. but the point is, Saturday night felt like the first time the UFC was back when it was glory days, when you had Diaz back in there and Robbie Lawler, and you had the legendary feel of a fight, and the referees let them fight it out. And didn't stop anything early from what I saw.
Very true.
And
very,
I was excited to see that.
Joe Marcourt wants me to bring up the word legend, the word legendary, and where Nick Diaz falls in all of that. So we will get around to that over the next hour and 45 minutes. We're going to hit a quick break. Then we're going to head out to Las Vegas as we get ready for UFC Fight Night 193. And Alex Hernandez coming on to talk about what's up for him. Born in St. Louis, so hopefully a Cardinal fan. What a roll the Cardinals have been on.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about Stu Sternberg as well. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. We'll be right back.
It's a wonder I can think at all. And my lack of education hasn't hurt me none.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I'm Ben Roethlisberger. You're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
Tampa, Florida. Are you a fan of MTV's The Challenge? Well, on Saturday, October the 9th, you're going to want to be at Challenge Mania Live. It's at the Tampa Improv, and you can meet and hang out with Derek Kaczynski, Mark Long, Hisela Delgado, and more guests to be announced. Get your tickets at challengemania.live or at the Tampa Improv website. It's Challenge Mania Live, a pre-show meet and greet, and a live panel talk show, just like a Challenge reunion show that doesn't suck.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Join the Humane Society of Tampa Bay for their premier gala, Tuxes and Tales, Enchanted Scotland, on October 23rd at the Tampa Convention Center. This black tie event will feature adoptable pets, silent auction, cocktail hour with complimentary wine and beer, dinner and dessert, live entertainment, after party with dancing and cigar bar by the Riverwalk. This event sells out every year. Make sure you purchase your tickets and sponsorships today. Become a sponsor or purchase tickets at TuxesTalesTampa.com.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Jabra Elite 85T True Wireless Earbuds have been engineered with the most cutting-edge noise cancellation technology on the market to give you complete control over how you hear the world around you. It's time to level up the way you block out the world. Go to Jabra.com for more details on these and other great Jabra products and pick up a pair today.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Mike Evans with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
All right, we are back hanging out here in studio. Great to be back. I'll tell you what, that COVID stuff is not good.
Oh, boy.
It was not pretty. Real quick, Richard Sherman signed. He was out at practice earlier today. We'll talk about that in the next segment. We also have some Rugged Maniac promos to give away. But right now, let's head out to Las Vegas. I'm really sorry I wasn't able to be out there last week. Sorry I'm not out there this week. Fight Night 193. Let's welcome back to the program, Alex. Alex, how are you?
Doing well, brother. How are you?
Not too bad. We appreciate your time. How's life? How's everything as you get ready for another exciting week and a fight on Saturday?
Man, everything's great. I love fight week. Fight week's our party for me. I get to be with my guys. We're locked in. It's just a home stretch. Good energy the whole week, you know, and the weight cut's going great. So all positivity over here.
Talk to us about fight week. You know, this isn't your first. It's not your third. You've been through many of these. Are they all the same? Do you try to mix it up a little so it's different, or do you like, you know, status quo?
You know, the last three have been almost identical, just given the terms. You know, since we've been undergoing COVID circumstances, the UFC ran out for the entire year in this Courtyard Marriott, which is kind of like an extended stay. So the there's an A section and a B section. You got your opponent on one side, you're on the other side. Fortunately, you know, I've had a teammate on the cards with me, and they've been on the same side as well, so it's been pretty easy for us to, you know, move about and communicate and get together. But the rooms are nice, man. It's like an extended stay apartment. You've got two bedrooms, full kitchen, full living room. You get a couple of those rooms each, and then we get a hotel room that's just cleared out, which is mat space that we can use for training, and you get shuttles to Whole Foods and the Performance Institute. So, you know, I like it, man. I think it's pretty comfortable, pretty convenient. I've been working with Perfecting Athletes as my nutritionist the last few goes, the last three fights, and so everything's been real clean, real easy going.
You know, I always bring up, you know, to the fighters that, you know, it's a work week. It's not vacation. It's not, you know, you're going to hang out on the strip and then, you know, head down on Saturday and fight. But under the COVID protocol, and you can't do a lot of things that you don't normally want to do, is it different? You know, it's like, I know I normally wouldn't go, but I can't go. So it might feel a little weird, right?
Yeah, you know, that's a great point. I feel like a lot of people do almost treat it too much like a party week. They kind of lose sight of what's going on and the goal in front of them, you know. I'm not big on adventuring too much. I've had some really fun fights out in, you know, Calgary, Canada, in Brooklyn, New York, and really, really all over. And so I've enjoyed taking a few of those days around media. You know, you go into town for the media events there at the hotel. Usually I would stay at Airbnb off-site, just completely secluded and sequestered to our own. But, you know, when we come in for media, I'd like to, you know, shuffle around, see the city a little bit, spend a few hours, but I don't really like to do too much, you know, and I want to spend as much time essentially hoarding awareness as possible and just kind of prepping myself, you know. And so, again, I'm a fan of the circumstances that are, because we get just that. We get a ton of privacy. We get a ton of time to get done exactly what we need to get done. And it's just tunnel vision, you know, it's just tunnel vision. But I'm sure some guys really get a little antsy and like to get out. I just, not one of those guys. You know, I kind of stay dialed in until after the fight. Even big dinners and things like that people do before or after weigh-ins, I save everything for after.
So what do you do for the next 3 or 4 days? You know, you have that great facility and you can work out and do that kind of stuff, but are you staying in the room? Are you watching it? And it seems like a lot of fighters, even during weight cuts, loves to watch, you know, the Food Network and all these food channels. Is that something you do, or how will you occupy?
I don't touch any of that stick perverse. You know, reverse work right there, man. That's the food channel satanic to me at this point. You know, I don't think. I like to be near it. I know I don't like it. Some guys enjoy the masochism. I do not. You know, I try to stay in my lane and just, again, the tunnel vision. But, you know, we'll go outside. They got the basketball court, so sometimes we'll bullshit or, you know, play around and shoot some hoops. What I'm about to do right now, I've got a series of interviews here. Lay outside, get some sun, stretch out. I got to go to the Apex Center for some videography and photos. And I'm going to spend probably the evening and the rest of the day at the Performance Institute doing some PT. They have the contrast tubs. I really like hitting the cold tubs the week of the fight, which is pretty contrary to what people do also. And so I'll do that and then come down and relax back at the hotel and probably kind of do that over the next couple of days.
Before we touch base on Saturday night, understand, you know, I did my 12 seconds of research, born in St. Louis. Are you a Cardinal fan? Are you a fan of other sports?
No, I'm a terrible sports fan, man. I wish I'd probably garner more relationships if I were, but I'm a terrible sports fan. I wasn't even a great – I followed a number of UFC a number of USB icons and things, but I was a pretty poor fan in just about everything until probably about four or five years ago. I started picking up more, but no, I don't watch any sports.
What do you watch then? You don't watch the food? Do you watch food stuff when you're not fighting?
No, I eat. I mean, I certainly eat. I try to get outside. You know, I don't really watch the food. I do eat it though. You know, and I'll try to go to. I spend probably a quarter of my check at different restaurants and just exploration of that, just eating and seeing different meals. But I don't know, man. Sometimes I've been on a huge documentary kick lately. I'll go in different things. Sometimes I just watch the dumbest TV just to kind of relax at the end of the day. But you know, the different things just depends on the mood.
All right, so Alex, so look, your nickname. I'm a nickname guy.
Oh God,
I'm big on. I think guys with the same nicknames in the UFC should fight for who gets the title to keep the name. You're the great.
You know what, man? This guy and what a terrible guy to pair up with right now too. I mean, this guy is something, right? The 145 great. I remember thinking because he was already going when I first came in on that short notice, and I remember thinking, oh, yeah, I'll have to do that. And he just kept going and going, and he is truly one of the greatest champs to do it, you know, pound for pound, one of the greatest in the division right now. And so give me another year or so, and I'll reaffirm that matchup.
So if the title fight came down to you versus Volosky for the title of the great, you got to keep the nickname forever, or you get the belt, the championship title belt, which would you win?
I want the belt. You can keep any dumb name.
Exactly.
Any Google search name all you want, you know, I'll take the belt, you know.
Exactly. So one of my favorite things to ask, you know, the fighters is craziest, strangest, funniest thing that's ever happened in the middle of a fight, whether it's to you, whether you did it to them, whether it's something you heard in the stands, something that kind of pops out to you, the funniest thing that's ever happened?
Funniest thing that ever happened. You know, I wish I had more moments of levity in the fight. I can't think of a hilarious moment in the fight. That's what I'm saying. I love fight weeks. I've had some pretty great times on the fight weeks, being on my team and doing things. I'm trying to think of a good fight moment. Nothing comes to mind, honestly, in the fight.
What's going through your mind? Not necessarily while you're walking to the cage, but, you know, they set the cage, you're looking across, you're looking at your opponent, the fight starts. I mean, are you thinking, are you trying to think ahead? Are you trying to stay clear because you don't want to think, you just want to react? Kind of what is going through the mind?
Yeah, you want to be as empty and present as possible. So you've done all the work, you know, the hay's in the barn, as they say. And so when I go in there, I try to, you know, have no ego, no expectation, and to like a samurai extent, surrender the outcome because I've already put it all in there. And then with all that being said, you know, I want to do it all with maximum intensity. So I want to be working on almost like a cerebral calibration and not thinking about anything, reacting well and trusting that everything that I've put together, the bulk of my work will kind of speak for itself in that moment. So you certainly don't want to. The last thing you want to be doing is expecting anything.
This week, and of course Saturday, Eve Edwards has always told me that this is the reward. All the hard work is already done. Now you just got to get through the week, and your reward is Saturday night.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, absolutely. I was real fortunate with this as well. We're planning on Leonardo Santos up until the end of last week, and then we were able to get where he pulled out. And we were able to get a new opponent, thank goodness. And, you know, you put all that work in, you got the weight going down and everything, and the last thing you want to do is push your date back. So I was happy to be able to get the replacement, and I'm certainly happy to show the fruits of the labor on Saturday, you know.
Saturday at the Apex Center. Alex, what can the fans expect to see when you get back in there and do what you love?
Greatness. They can see greatness and freedom, that word. I expect to make a short night.
Awesome. Good stuff. Alex, thank you very much for your time. I know that we have your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong, as well as a pair of earbuds from Jabral Electronics and some socks from Odd Sock Original. If you want, and you have a few minutes on time, jump on their website, It's oddsockofficial.com. Pick out some that you want. Just shoot me a text or an email, and we'll make sure they go in the mail to you tomorrow.
Man, thank you. I appreciate it so much, guys. Thanks for the time.
Appreciate your time. Enjoy the week and have fun on Saturday.
Thanks. I'll see you guys. All
right. Take care. That is the great
Alexander.
Alexander, that is. Good stuff. All right, let's hit a break when
we come back. Before you hit that break, Randy,
yeah.
there's three other greats in the MMA combat sport world, but that's number two on the list of fighter nicknames. When we come back after the break, can you guess what the number one fighter nickname of all nicknames is?
I'm going to stick with what I've always said, and it'll never change.
And that is?
Uncle Creepy.
And that is not,
in my,
you know, it's popular.
First of all, it's maybe not as popular, but you can't tell me what my favorite
The most popular, there's one above the great. The great is number two on the list. Number one, come up after this break from Knockout Radio and 8 Man Strong.
Dan Stapps.
Yeah, darling, go make it happen. Take the world in a loving embrace. Buy all of your guns and pumps and explode into space.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Michael Clayton from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
Join the Humane Society of Tampa Bay for their premier gala, Tuxes and Tales, Enchanted Scotland, on October 23rd at the Tampa Convention Centre. This black tie event will feature adoptable pets, silent auction, cocktail hour with complimentary wine and beer, dinner and dessert, live entertainment, after party with dancing and cigar bar by the Riverwalk. This event sells out very early each year, so make sure to purchase your tickets and sponsorships today. Become a sponsor or purchase tickets at TuxesTalesTampa.com.
How would you like to be like Jorge Masvidal, Dustin Poirier, Daniel Cormier, Joe Rogan, me, and many, many others? You could also own an amazing painting from Ross Baines Art. Ross paints original canvas art, including custom commission work. There is nothing Ross Baines can't paint. Ross was commissioned to paint the Masvidal flying knee mural on the ATT gym wall as well. Hang a painting in your house or office of your favorite athlete, actor, pet, family, sunset, you get the idea. Check out his amazing talent on the online store at rossbainesart.bigcartel.com and join the Ross Baines Art owner family. Follow Ross today on Twitter at Ross Baines Art.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Country Depot, located at 36 North Broad Street in historic downtown Brooksville, could be the coolest store on planet Earth. From home and garden decor, handbags, and sports items, Country Depot carries a very large variety of unique gifts like nautical, primitive, country, and much more. Follow them on Facebook at Country Depot and stay tuned to Knockout Radio for details on how to register to win a $50 gift certificate. It's called Country Depot in Brooksville and worth the drive.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Jim Tomey, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
I guess we better say it before we're not allowed. That was Jim Tomey of the Cleveland Indians.
Oh, you can't say Indian.
Well, no, you can for another couple days.
Oh.
And then you can't. I know that you can tell us number one in a second. Jimmy Denning coming up in about a minute. Damn. But I did forget to announce another giveaway we're doing.
Oh, what are we
doing? And I really need to come up with a really cool, kick-ass way to give it away.
Okay.
But Country Depot is going to give away one of the replica Super Bowl Tom Brady rings.
Oh, what?
The top comes off. It's a replica. I want to say identical, but it's not because it doesn't have 143 million diamonds in it.
Right.
But and how about the latest with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick?
No, I hadn't.
Bill Belichick refused to sit down, allegedly,
okay, with
Tom Brady. He wanted to do it by phone.
Really?
I saw that on the Four Letter Network. All right, before we keep Jimmy on hold too long,
yeah, what's
the number one?
The one common nickname is Pitbull.
Oh, common. You didn't
common.
Say common.
Most
you
common.
Said what nickname is the most popular.
Well, most common, most popular.
Well, no, it means
most used.
Most used.
Right.
Well, that doesn't mean either one of them
are
popular.
You got seven pit bulls. You've got the Great coming in number two. Number three, the Kid. Number four, Lionheart.
Okay. Again, common is different than...
But I'm still going to stay on my soapbox about I think you should have one nickname and you got to fight for it. You got to earn it. And then you get to keep it for life.
So what's your nickname, Jimmy?
Well, as I had bright red hair at school, I was just called Carrot.
Oh, so Carrot. So what's Carrot Top's name? I forget his name. So that means you got to fight him, right?
Yeah.
I think if you go with what Matt's theory is, you always want to pick the one, 35ers, the 145ers, maybe the 155ers, especially when you're, 6'6", 325?
The nickname goes to Jimmy Denning.
Jimmy Denning with whatever nickname he wants.
Doesn't matter. It's a clean slate.
It doesn't matter. Well, first and foremost, thank you for filling in for me last week at both events at the Dana White Contender Series and UFC 6412. Before we talk about the main event, and you and I have been, texting and talking about it, give me the rundown on the Apex Center, what it was like at the Contender Series. Obviously, a different atmosphere, but still a fist fight.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I think it's such a great place, and it's even greater because it's 10 minutes from my house, which is amazing. But what I will say is, it's so nice as a fan. Because there's very few people in there, you can hear the coaches talking. You can actually hear the fighters, conversing with them, talking about tactics. There's just something very raw, and it's incredibly entertaining, especially for a fan like me. It's so intimate. You can actually hear Dana White chatting to Sean Shelby and Mick Maynard about fighters and what they're doing right and what they're doing wrong. And it's just very intriguing, And I think during the pandemic, having the Apex and what they did with it, and allowed to have the Dana White Contender Series and also the Fight Nights in there, I think it's a stroke of genius. But then again, I say that a lot about Dana White. He's very good at what he does.
Absolutely. And I agree with you. And being there, and I've tried to explain this about covering, football as well, you think that you can see a lot when you're watching it on TV. And when you go there and you're in attendance and you can hear and see and smell and all that stuff, it is so totally different. So talk to me about, the fighters that are fighting on the Contender Series have one goal, and that's to fight, to win, to excite Dana White, to get a contract. Can you sense that? Can you feel that better being in the Apex than just watching it on TV?
Yeah, you know what? You really can. And I'll tell you what's really noticeable. You maybe have 50, 60 people in there. You have some invited guests from Dana White. You have the press. And then you have the families of these fighters. Now, a lot of these guys are doing what you would call normal jobs. They dream of one day being in the UFC, and it means a lot financially, professionally, to your family. And you can actually feel you can cut it with a knife, because you can hear everything. You can hear every scream from every wife and every cheer from every kind of brother or father type of thing. And literally, these fighters walk straight past you. They've got no egos. They're not famous. They're not well known. They're just trying to make their way in the fight world, in a very, very competitive world. And you can see it. A lot of them, you can see it on their faces. I mean, you're literally... I liken it to being a singer and being a performer and doing auditions for Broadway and West End shows. It's a certain kind of person that you walk in and there's a panel of three or four people and they're usually sternly looking at you, not giving you any form of smile or comfort. And you have to sing your 1 minute and hope to impress them, to get in this show that you've always dreamed of being in. And it's exactly the same. The only difference is, in this audition, you're getting punched in the face quite a lot.
I was going to say that to you. I'm sure it's nervous to get up there and sing in front of people, but you know that you're not going to get kicked, possibly kicked in the groin, punched in the face, head-butted or whatever. So it is a little different.
I've had a few sketchy auditions like that, though.
All right, we'll save that for the after show when it's straight internet. Now let's talk about Saturday night, T-Mobile Arena. Had the opportunity to have one of the best seats in the house. It figures the one week that I'm sick and I can't go. Before we talk about the main card and, of course, the main event, tell us about the undercard. Give us your thoughts.
Do you know what? Everything, even from the prelims, it was so incredible. We literally had, I believe there was 15 fights, I would say 12 of them, were just incredible. I think, as a fan, and I think a lot of the journalists when we were speaking, everyone was in awe of Dan Hooker. Yeah. For those people that don't know, Dan Hooker, obviously, he's a New Zealander. He was stuck in New Zealand with COVID. He had to fly in very, very last minute. I believe he arrived in Vegas on the Wednesday night, Thursday night, and literally never...
I believe it was Thursday.
Yeah, and he came straight to the media center. He did his press obligations. He went straight onto the scale. He absolutely nailed the weight, and then he walked out. He must have been exhausted. I mean, we're talking a 20-hour flight or whatever it may be, and he absolutely went out and put on a show. So, I think he deserves all the plaudits of that. And there were some great fights on the entire card. Marlon Moraes, that fight was insane. Especially being at the side of the ring, and as you were saying, the one day you don't come, Randy, they put me on the second row, right next to Kevin Aoli. So you could hear everything, you could see everything, and I've got to say it was impressive beyond belief, that fight. It was a Georgian guy. I'm just trying to bring up his name. I don't want to butcher his name, but it was Divinishvili, I think his name is, and I've never seen him fight live. And we thought Marlon Moraes had him, and Divinishvili just took him apart. But to be honest with you, through the entire thing, there was a real feeling that everything was gearing up towards Lawler and Nick Diaz.
and I was just going to say that. And I always say, and I come across as this professional, and that I don't look forward to, and every fight is another fight. But there are certain people, the needle movers, that you may not see it in me, but you get jacked up and excited when somebody like Nick Diaz is making that walk to the octagon.
It was, do you know what? It was no disrespect to anyone else on the card. There was the feeling all the way through the week was this legend has come back. And also, listen, Robbie Lawler is a legend as well. And he's never in a boring fight. But the atmosphere completely, it was rocking as it always is at the T-Mobile. The UFC put on an amazing show. It's super tight. But just that moment where the cameras, saw Nick Diaz coming out of the locker room and walking through it was unbelievable. Everybody was on their feet, and it was quite incredible because the great and the good of the MMA world was there. Sat right across from us is Mark Coleman and Chuck Liddell and George Masvidal, and they're all jumping up with their phones. To really just show you how big a star he is when they're all like giddy schoolgirls going to the prom kind of thing with their cameras. And that was an amazing reaction. It was an amazing reaction. And I thought the first round was phenomenal. It was real. I can't believe it was 17 years ago, the first fight. But to be honest with you, I think he looked a little soft. He looked... And I tell you one thing that flagged up to me when they changed the weight. So for those people that don't know, it was supposed to be at 170. And then obviously he changed the weight at the last minute. That tends to tell me that you've not conditioned yourself correctly for a fight of this magnitude,
Right. The guy that does all these triathletes and jumps on the bike for a 412-mile bike ride or a run through a housing complex that he can't afford to live in, according to him. It was a little surprising. And, I've talked to some buddies here locally, and anybody else that I think would have done what Nick Diaz did, and basically... he no-mossed, he Roberto Durand, anybody else would be get ripped, and every except for Nick Diaz. He's like, he's been gone long.
I've got to say, where we were sat, obviously there's three or four rows of media, and when Lawler cracked him, and his nose was a state, you know, and you never quite know. Listen, getting punched in the face is not a nice thing for anyone to go through, but he just seemed to have been, like almost like his soul was taken, like he's kind of, he just doesn't have that killer spirit anymore. And when he quit, right behind us, there was, I would say, 20, 30 people that threw, beers and bottles and all sorts of stuff, and it covered all of the computers of all of these press guys. So then the security went in and removed them. So I think there was a little bit of bother within the arena when that happened. But in general, I think when he speaks, I think everyone, you can't help but love him. He has that kind of personality that you can't help but love him and his brother, you know.
Were you as surprised, and I know you were covering, all the media events all week as well, and, Nick Diaz said it all week, not just after the fight, that, he had it coming to him, and he wasn't this, and he wasn't that, and he didn't want to be there, and his team set this up. I know that's the thing that both Diaz has always kind of, I don't want to say built in excuses, but, were you surprised that he was like, I really don't want to be here?
I mean, I don't understand. I mean, he's been out of the game for a long time, because you never know someone's financial situation. And I imagine he got very well compensated for the fight. But it's a very, very hard thing to try and gauge, because Nick Diaz is so quiet and so understated. So it's very, you never quite know if he's happy or not, but I did hear, I think Jake Shields put something up on his social media saying that he was almost forced into doing the fight by some management contractual details. I don't know. I read something yesterday. I need to look into it a little bit more. But I know that there was a lot of rumblings that he wasn't that happy about being in there in the first place.
So Jimmy, but I know that the star power of all the things going on around, the title fight, the Ortega fight, we haven't got to that. But let's talk about Valentina Shevchenko. And her dominant performance. I mean, the skill, the precision, the power. I mean, is she up there or better than Amanda Nunes?
I mean, arguably not, because she's been beaten twice. But I think that's probably a weight issue. If I'm being honest, I think I heard a very interesting theory. I think Michael Bisping had a really good theory this week, saying, why don't they come up with a they're both champions, and every time that Valentina Shevchenko has stepped up to face the much bigger Amanda Nunes, then she's come up short. And Amanda Nunes is arguably the greatest female fighter of all time and one of the best fighters of all time. But one thing I will say is I would love to see them fight at a weight where Shevchenko could maybe use her skills. So the idea of maybe doing a catch weight, no championships, just let's find out who the baddest woman on the planet is, I think is kind of an interesting idea. But one thing, she's so popular. Like, Lauren Murphy, is a American lass. But it was bizarre. The entire stadium was cheering for Valentina. And she walks in, and no word of a lie, she's tiny, and of course, probably tiny compared to me as well. But the look on her face, she scares the life out of you. She scares the absolute life out of you.
And then you look at the bullet and gun tattoo, and you get even scarier.
She's just so remarkable. I think that's probably a good word. She walked straight past us, and I said to the guy next to me, I was just like, that. I said, I would not like to be that lassie in the ring right now. Because she walks in with this very straight, very down-to-business, very kind of, let's say Soviet approach. And she went in. She just totally outclassed Lauren Murphy. She did really well, Lauren Murphy, to last that long, to be honest with you. But what was great was, it's amazing that when she finishes a fight, the smile and her personality is amazing. She made a point as she comes out of the ring. She says thank you to all the journalists. She's shaking everybody's hand. Thank you for covering it. Thank you for being so nice to me. And you're thinking, this is arguably one of the baddest women on the planet. And she's so gracious. And one thing she did, which I thought was a real classy move, as she walked past us to leave the arena, she stopped and had a photograph with the ring girls. And she'd spoken out at the press conference as well about Khabib's comments about having ring girls and it being offensive and being, you know, not correct. And she was very kind. She went over to the ring girls. She shook their all hands. She said, oh, I want a photo with you. She called them all beautiful. She said, I love what you do. Please keep doing what you're doing. And please don't take his comments as the feelings of everybody. You know, it's a tradition. You're earning your money. You're doing really well. You're very well liked. And I thought that was a real classy move, especially for her as a prominent female in the sport, you know.
So Jimmy, so I did a little research before the show, believe it or not.
I don't believe it.
I did. And look, this is going to go back to like the conversation that we had maybe a year or so ago about how popular the UFC is because as global appeal, similar to soccer, how it's such a global sport. And yeah. Right now, there's only one American champion as a belt holder, and that's Rose Yamayudis. It is truly a global sport, and it's just continuing to grow. And unfortunately for you, my friend, there's already a carrot fighter out there. His name is Caleb Contreras. So it looks like we got you a fight coming up. And
what's his weight?
It doesn't matter. fighting for the nickname. It doesn't matter.
I I'd love Jimmy to death, but weight does matter. If it's a Nagano weight, but if it's 155, I'll go with Jimmy.
And I'm curious to see what Khabib will say about your kilt if you come out and perform at your fight as you do on stage. I wonder what Khabib will say about you wearing a kilt. Listen, inside.
I'm twice the weight of. I'll just eat him. It's just going to be easy.
All right, before we run out of time, let's talk about the main event. You and I have talked about it. I talked about it with Alex Hernandez in the first segment. And yeah. As a judge, I understand a 10-9 can be one punch, one takedown, one this, one that. But I still have a hard time 50-45, 50-44. And it going down, as many are saying, the greatest fight, it was the most entertaining if you're not a Brian Ortega fan.
Yes.
But give me, you know, what you and I have been talking about off air, you know, let me know on air.
I think all I know is that sitting ringside, you felt genuinely privileged to have been a part of it. And I came out of the arena and I walked to my car, and by the time I got to my car, I only live 20 minutes from the T-Mobile Arena. But by the time I got home, and I said to my wife, and she said, "Did you have a good night?" I said, and it was like you'd just seen Santa Claus for the very first time. It was just this feeling of complete euphoria because, you know, Alexander Volkanovski is an absolute machine. There's no doubt about that. He's an exceptionally talented guy. He's a super guy to deal with, and you know, he goes in and he does what he does, and I think now he's going to get the credit that he deserves. But the third round, when Brian Ortega's eyes are closing up, his corner said that he broke his nose in the second because his corner were right by where we were sitting, and he kept coming out, and when he managed to jump and get the rear naked choke, and he literally jumped like a ninja, and how Alex Volkanovski got out of that, I'll never know. I'll never know. And then, you know, considering that it's one of those things where you have like a seesaw, literally. One time he's going to win, and then the next time he's going to win. No, he's going to win. No, he's going to choke him out. No, he's going to get knocked out. And that roller coaster, everyone in the arena, everyone was literally looking around, even the police officers that were sat there for security purposes. Everyone's looking at each other going, what are we witnessing? Because we're witnessing greatness. And I arguably think the third round of that fight is arguably the greatest round I've ever seen, ever.
Watching it, and I've said this, you know, in a couple segments already, other than round three and other than the two submission attempts, and I called Daniel Cormier out. He said that Alex never, you know, got flustered, which he did.
See
it. You know, he was worried, and he should be. But other than those two submission attempts, did you ever really think Brian Ortega was going to win that fight?
I did. I mean, because I was so looking forward to this fight because the Holloway-Ortega fight was so amazing. And whether you say it's amazing just because Brian Ortega can take one hell of a beating and he's one of the bravest guys I've ever seen, he does have incredible technique. He has incredible jiu-jitsu, and at any time he can take you out. And that was, it was just the seesaw. And I, like I said, it, I came out and I couldn't speak for probably 15, 20 minutes because we were all, our minds were all blown. And we went back to the media tent after the fight. And literally people were walking around in the daze, almost like they've just seen a plane crash or they've just seen something unbelievable. You know, like they've just heard that, you know, it's almost like someone has just told you something. You just won the lottery. It was that kind of feeling. Everyone's walking around not quite understanding what they were just part of. Now, I don't know whether that comes across as much on a television screen, but when you're sat two rows from the ring and you can see Ortega and you can see the referee, you know, I think it was the beginning of the fifth round, with his finger, and Ortega couldn't, he kept holding up two fingers, I think it was, and Ortega was going, yeah, I can see the three, I can see the three.
Right.
And they're going, no. And it's unbelievable. And funny enough, Tony Weeks, boxing referee, is a friend of mine, and Tony was the representative for the commission, and he was looking over at what the referee was doing. He was looking over us, and it was almost like laughing because Ortega was fine. He was just getting very confused,
right?
And then, you know, literally it was 20-30 seconds to go before the round started, and the referee just looked at me and said, "Do you want to go?" And he says, "I want to go." And they all went. They all nodded and said, "Yeah, okay, let's do it." I don't know. Like you said, it was back and forth. I understand your point of view with saying that with it being such a clear win for Volkanovski, can it be classed as a great fight? But I say yes. I say yes. It was so.
You know, and I'm okay with calling it that because it was exciting. It was fun to watch. But like I said, if I'm a family member of Brian Ortega, I'm thinking different. Back to you, real quick. And I know Matt, you got something. I was waiting for Rocky Balboa to, you know, slap him in the back of the neck three times, you know, like he did in the movie, to let him know how many fingers were up.
I think they could well have done that.
And Jimmy, so this question is more maybe for Randy because he's been around a long time, maybe for you because you were there. But if a fighter grabs the cage while they're on the ground or uses the cage with their grip, the referees make them either stop, they slap their hand away, or they like give them a stern warning or a very stern warning.
Tremendous stern warning.
But Ryan Ortega uses his feet like hands.
Yeah, it's illegal.
Yeah, like so his claw, like, but did they do anything to stop that advantage that Ortega was trying to sink in that guillotine choke with?
It's two different questions, Matt. Did they or do they? Because did they, but they didn't.
Should they?
Yeah, they should.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like hands. You're not allowed to do it. You should get, and it shouldn't, I hate those warnings, and Jimmy, you and I have talked about it. I mean, you know when you're grabbing a fence. It should be an automatic point deduction, in my opinion.
So how do you fix it?
It's that feeling that you're in the middle of a fight. Sometimes your head's all over the place. You're having to be aware not only of elbows and punches and knees, then of submissions, and you don't want to give someone your back, you know. And then in the meantime, you naturally sort of grab out and grab a cage. Usually, the referees will pull it straight away. They'll normally just go off the cage. But as Randy said, like, you know, if you continuously do it, a lot of people do it on purpose. You know, they try and see how far that they can push a referee. Sure. So I think there's got to be it can be fairly strong, but. Because it is such an advantage. It can really give you such an advantage if you overdo it. But, I mean, I don't think there's a massive problem with it, to be honest with you. Most referees just say, hands off the cage. And that's the kind of end of it.
Last question before I let you go with my questions. Rozenstruik versus Curtis Blaydes. How does a guy like Rozenstruik get this far in his career and not have simple Brazilian jiu-jitsu to get back to his feet, to get off the ground?
Can I answer that, Jimmy?
Go for it.
Derek Lewis, Ngannou. I mean, it's all the same.
But I would say
it's all one big punching power.
But those two guys have worked on their skill set. Derek Lewis is a much better fighter than he was when he came in. He uses raw power to get to where he is. But at this level, if Rozenstruik really is in top five to contend for the belt, he's got to be able to get off of his back when taken down, or he'll never win the belt.
You would think, but Jimmy, and we only have about 30 seconds left, Curtis Blaydes wasn't able to probably see outside of the octagon, probably needed help leaving the octagon, correct?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, his eye was closed up pretty badly.
So,
and Ortega broke an orbital bone. So,
but that's how you get away with it.
A lot of damage.
We are out of time. Jimmy, thank you very much for the time. Thank you for covering it for us. I know you're going to be doing it a lot more in the future. We appreciate it, and I'm going to pick up those Odd Sock Dusty Rhodes socks for you and get
them
shipped out.
Get them the Carrot Top ones. He's got to be the Carrot Top from now on.
I don't know if Carrot Top has Odd Socks. All right, Jimmy, we'll be in touch soon.
Cheers, lads. Take care. Bye-bye. Right,
take care. That is Jimmy Denning doing a lot of our Vegas work now.
Love that guy.
Yeah, I was looking forward to hanging out with him for the week and then, of course, got sick, so didn't go. He covered the entire week. Did everything, and like he said, he lives right there. He's going to move into the Apex, you know, just so he doesn't have to travel
or pay rent.
Exactly. And the food at the Apex is great. I don't know why more fighters don't move there. And, you know, I don't know if you saw that, but what Hooker said, the entire team is thinking about moving,
sure,
you know, to Vegas. And why would you not?
I mean, Zhang is here training for her fight, her rematch with Rose. I mean, everything's coming here, even though it's a global sport and the champions all live outside the U.S.
But they all live in Vegas and train there.
That's what they
do. All right, let's go hit a break. We are at the top. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Sub. What's
your game? This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Mike Allstott, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.